Good morning. Last week, we began the sugya of a mekach, which is chayzer. When you buy or sell something, and either party has the right to call or to undo the transaction. And we learned that although on the surface it appears to be a sale, you're buying, you're selling something, but the halacha is, since you have the right to cancel the transaction, to undo it, halacha, we will look at it as a loan. And the use of the property, the fact that during the time in between you used the item, you lived in the house, you collected rent, that would all be considered ribis for the halva, for the loan of the money that was initially advanced. As we pointed out, there are a number, the Achrayim discuss a number of heterim. The Sma in Chosh Mishpat, Simin Reish Zayin, Paskins, that the Isser is only when you sell it, and you tell the person, whenever you give me back the money, whenever you return the money, I will give you back the item. So in that case, we look at it as if by returning the money, you are retroactively making the sale null and void. And in that case, the benefit that you had would be considered ribis. However, the Sma says, if there is a period of time where you cannot redeem the property, for the first year, for the first 5 years, the sale is final. So in that case, the Sma paskins, it's a real sale, and there's no problem with being oichel peiris in the time in between. The Chavis Das has a bigger chiddush. He says that we look at the terminology used. If the deal is such that when the buyer or when the seller gives the money back to the buyer has to return the item. And there we say it's lamafreya, and there's a problem of ribis. However, if they speak it out in a way which makes it clear that when the seller returns the money, he's not being mavatal the original sale, he's not undoing it. It's simply a condition, he has the right to force the buyer to resell it in the future. There the Chavis Das says it would be mutter. Now again, both of these heterim, there are pikpukim on. But I'll call upon him the case where most the poskim are samech on it is whenever you buy an item in a store and there's a return policy. So here we should have the same shaila. The buyer has the right to undo the deal within 30 days, 60 days, whatever the return policy is. So this should be a problem. Because since the buyer pays immediately, he uses the goods for 2 weeks and then he returns it, that use should be aser. So over here, some poskim are makel directly, straight out, and they say that since it is obvious that the seller is not giving you the use of the item as a schar mtonas mois, the reason why they have a return policy is simply to encourage people to buy it. If you bought on credit, if you gave them a post-dated check, they would give you the same courtesy, they let you use it for that time. So in a case where that's clear, the poskim are makel and say it is not a problem of ribis. Others are a little bit more machmir, but what they say is you should write, instead of calling it a return policy, you should write specifically it's a buyback policy. And therefore, according to the Chavis Das, since if you use language on the policy that makes it clear that you're not being mavatal to sale to mafreya, it's just that the store is committing to buy it back from you within 30 days, if you're not satisfied, that would also avoid the shaila. Now this leads us to the next case. What happens if a person sells an item, a property, an item, whatever it may be, and he sells it with certain terms and conditions? The mechir is al tnai. And if these conditions are not met, then the deal is undone. So the mechaber paskins, this would have the same halacha. Since the original sale was conditional, so if these conditions aren't met and we undo the deal, it comes out that all the hanah that the buyer had in this period in between, where he paid the money and he was using the property, that use would all be ribis. And in the event that the sale ends up, the conditions are not met, and the sale ends up being undone, the buyer would have to reimburse the seller for all the hanah that he had, all the fact that he used the property. Now it doesn't matter who breached the condition. Even if the condition is something that's dependent on the seller, And for whatever reason it is that the tanai is triggered, the bottom line is, if the deal ends up being reversed, the buyer has to pay the seller for any benefit that he had, any of the use that he had of this item for the period in between. Now, based on this, if anyone here remembers from when we were learning Hilchos Mekachtos, this causes a tremendous chiddush halacha. A person walks into a store and buys an item. You buy a car. A few weeks later, the engine starts shaking. You realize it's a Mekachtos. You bought a lemon. So what's the halacha? If you buy a car and it turns out the transmission is shot, halacha is a Mekachtos. You return the car and you get a refund of your money. Based on this halacha, it's true it's a Mekachtos. It's true you have the right to demand the seller refund all the money that you paid and to take the car back. But you're going to have to pay the seller for all the hana, all the fact that you used the car, you drove the car for the past few weeks. Because again, you paid the money in advance. The seller has your money. When you claim the mekatois, you're getting your money back. So all the hana, all the use that you had in between these the payers that you aged to be ribbis, and you'd have a chiv to return it. That's what ribbis is. When you're charging someone, that's true. But when you're charging someone to use a car, that's called rent. When you're charging someone to use your money, that's called ribbis.
But you use the money for using the car. They pay the rent for the car.
But if I lend you money, for a year, for the next year, you're using my money. Do I have the right to charge you or to take a benefit for that use? No, that's what ribbis is. So therefore, in this case, it's true. You use my money, I use your car. But the use of the money, I'm not allowed to charge you for. I'm not allowed to get any benefit for. So therefore, behechrich, I'm going to have to pay you for the hishtamshus. I'm going to have to pay you for the use of the car so that it should not be ribbis. Now, if anyone remembers from Simon Reish Lamed Beis, the Bach, the Levosh, and the Sma all paskin like this. They all say whenever there's a mekachtois, since the item was defective, the sale is void from day one. When you return the item, when you undo the deal, you have to pay for the schiras, you have to pay for the value of the rental. Now, although in Chodesh Mishpat, there are no chalkim over there, there's an achal Yitzchak in Siman Pei Aleph that says it's a chiddush, but he says a very interesting time. He says, what happens if a person is a goslin? He walks into your house one day, steals some money, and he uses it. Now, you needed this money. You know, it was a deal that was supposed to close the next day. Because you were robbed, you weren't able to close, you had a tremendous hefset. The goslin went ahead, took the money, he invested it, he did very well. One day, he has charata, he wants to do tshuva, he feels bad about what he did. So he comes back to you. He wants to pay you. It's actually 40 years later. The $1,000 that he stole back then, which was a lot of money, today is not worth quite as much. What's the halacha? Can he pay you extra or not? So over here, it is a machlokes, but according to Rav Paiskin, there's no problem. Ribbis is when you lend someone money. You lend someone money, he pays you back extra. So if there's a tzitzah, it's ribbis d'oraisa. If on his own he wants to give you a present, it's ribbis d'rabbanan. However, if a person's a goslin, he stole money, stole from you, there's no issur ribbis. And fakir, many poskim say that if a goslin that steals and wants to do tshuva, to really do tshuva, even though in halacha he only has to pay back what he took, but if he really wants to do tshuva, if he caused the nigzal a loss, he should be mafayasim. He should reimburse him for any loss that he suffered because of the gezela. Zok nachal Yitzchak. We can take this to the next level. What happens if the person who you bought the car from knew that it was a lemon? Before you came in, he stuffed up the engine with some stop leak or some whatever junk they put in. He sold you a lemon. Now, it took you a few weeks to realize what happened. But now you realize that from day one you were fooled. You give back the car, you get your money back. What halacha does that money have? Is that like a halva, or is it like gezel? Zok l'nachal Yitzchak, certainly in a case where the moicher knew, maliciously knew that it was defective, and he sold it to you anyway, the Nachal Yitzchok says that money has a din of mois gezela, and therefore the Nachal Yitzchok paskins in such a case, there is no problem of ribis, and there's no chiyuv to go ahead and to reimburse the seller for the use that you had. Now, if the seller didn't know about it, here it's less clear. Here, according to most paiskim, it has a din of a halva. And Nachal Yitzchok may hold it to seka dedina. He may hold that you can't force him to pay back. But according to most paiskim, in Siman Samuch and in other places, this heter would not apply. It's only when he knew about it and maliciously took him for a ride. But in other cases, there would be, according to most paiskim, it would have a din of a halva, and you would have to pay for the use. Again, the Nachal Yitzchok is there's a tremendous machlokes in the Achrayim and what the status of Mechach Toyos is. On one hand, it's not Gazlin. The pshat is you break into someone's house, you take it shaloi kedin. Mechach Toyos, the money is paid willingly, but it's paid willingly through fooling the person. There's a mistake, so that's why there is a discussion. Roif Paiskim hold it is always considered a halva, and you always have a problem. Nachal Yitzchok's chiddush is that if I know that I'm not delivering what I'm promising, it's not a mistake. I know that it's not there, and I fool you. I died to the hachi. You never agreed to give me the money, and he passes that would be a din of gazel. Right. That would be the same thing. Correct, because it was never given to him vidas. It was never willfully given. Now, in the case of Mechdalis, it is different because the person gives it to you, but under false premises. So that's why it is more of a shiloh what status it has in this time in between.
Just like we're taking a transaction, we're changing it from a halva to gzela. When it's gzela, why don't we do the same thing with Mechdalis? It's not a case of
fine. The question is when it's mekach u'menkar betos, now it's choizer lemafreya. So the item itself, we know lemafreya always belonged to the seller. The money should have belonged to the buyer. So do we look at it as if the seller inadvertently stole the money from him? Or do we look at it as when I buy goods and I pay the seller, I understand that if there's a toyas, I'll get it back. But in between, he's not using it sholoi bershus and has a din of a halva. Now again, according to most places, it'll have a din of a halva. The Nachal Yitzchok is meikel. Now this leads us to a tremendous chumrah. We've discussed many times. There's a famous kula from the Igros Moshe that if a person borrows money, if a corporation borrows money, it's a non-recourse loan. So as long as the borrower, there's no person who has to pay it back. It's not personally guaranteed. The Igros Moshe held there's no issur ribis. As we discussed, this is a machlokes. Many of the G'dolei Eretz Yisrael were not masking to the heter. Some people do follow it, some people don't. But that's the shita of the Igros Moshe. Now, is typically today, especially when you're dealing with a real estate transaction, even when there is a non-recourse loan, there are very often carve-outs. There are bad boy clauses or good faith guarantees where essentially, although the loan is non-recourse, that's only true if everything is kosher. The representations that were made are true. So in that case, if the property goes bad, it's non-recourse. However, very often, the parties will sign a limited guarantee where if the principal committed fraud, or very often it's triggered if he declares a voluntary bankruptcy, or if he embezzles money, or there are a bunch of triggers, different things that he could do that could trigger this default. At that point, he is personally responsible for the loan. Now, in such a case, do you have the heter of the Igros Moshe or not? On one hand, it's a non-recourse loan. On the other hand, under certain circumstances, if you trigger a default, it'll become recourse. Now there'll be a personal achrayus, a personal liability to repay the loan.
Now, distinguishing things that happened in the past, presumably
Okay, good. Fine. Very good. Very good. We'll get there. It's like this. Pashas, you would say, that we just mentioned before, that a gazlan, there's no issue ribbis by a gazlan. Person steals money, there's no problem with ribbis. So I've taka heard people make on these bad boy clauses, saying very simply, you took out the loan. If everything is that you're saying is true, then it's non-recourse. You have the igros moish. What are we worried about? Is that you're lying through your teeth, or that you're going to go ahead, embezzle money, declare bankruptcy, or you're going to violate some of the provisions of the loan, and you're going to trigger this guarantee. So I've heard people paskin that it's not a problem. Because since any of these things would be a breach of the agreement, it's fraud, you're violating the terms of the agreement, then it will have a din of gezel. And once it becomes gezel, we have no problem with you taking personal responsibility because it's not a loan. Samanashach, until you trigger it, it's a non-recourse loan, you have the igros moshe. The moment you trigger it, at that point it becomes gezel, and therefore it should be mutter. However, this kula l'chayra is a very big chiddush, and is probably not true in most cases for a number of reasons. First of all, as we pointed out, this whole heter by gezel is not so simple. There are paiskim that hold that even by gezel there's ribbis. Again, it's probably a das yachid, but there is such a shita. Even the mekilin by gezel, they're mekel by a regular case of gezel. You go ahead and you steal the money. In a case where it was given to you, it was in the context of a sale, although it may turn out to be a mekach tois, here in Siman Reish Lamed Beis, we paskin that by a mekach tois, according to most paiskim, there is a problem of ribbis. It's only the Nachal Yitzchok that's mekel and says that if you do it willfully, knowing that it's a fraud, there Nachal Yitzchok is mekel. But according to the other paiskim, even by a regular mekach tois, it would be aser. This case is even worse. Because in all the cases we had until now, there was no ketitza. You didn't take the money and agree that if this is gezel, I'll pay you 18%. You bought the item. It'll come out if you figure out the mekach tois in the future, and by the time you figured it out, you use the property, you use the car, so you'll end up being nana, you'll end up, you had free use of the item for the time in between. Over here, you're signing a contract committing to pay interest in the event of this default. When there's a ktsitsa, here the Imre Yosher says, even if it's structured, even if it's a gezel, even if it's a fraud, where there's a specific ktsitsa that I'm going to pay this amount of interest, you know, per day, per month, whatever it is, there, even when it's a mekach tois, here I think l'kulei alma, it would be aser. And we'll get to later on in the shir, there's a Chavis Dast and Makor Mayim Chaim that has a similar case where a person rented something, did not have your problem of ribbis. He then went ahead and he spent the money. Again, we'll clarify what the case is a little bit later. And the Chavis Dast says very clearly, by a Shaleach Yad, if there's a Ketzitzo, there is a problem of ribbis. So to be Soymach on a bad boy clause, where the Holy Gris Moshe is a Chiddush, and on top of that you're going to be Mekel, where there's a Ktsitsa, so here already, I think according to most places in this case, would be Yasser, and a person should not be Soymich on the Gris Moshe if there's any sort of guarantee. Now the next halacha is halacha, we're going to discuss now the halachas of Schirus, of when you have the Yisur of Ribbis in a rental. The Mechaber has a very nice Eitzah for a person who wants to be Malva Beribis or do something similar. And he says the following Eitzah would be Mutar L'Chalchila. Person has a building. The building throws off $100,000 of income a year. If the owner of the building wants to borrow money, so what he can do is, to avoid a problem of Ribis, he could rent it out to someone for a long-term lease. Person will agree, I'll rent it for 10 years at $50,000 a year, or you know, $70,000 a year. The tenant can be magdim the mois. He can pay, the halacha is by schiras. You can give a person a discount paying the money up front. So there's nothing wrong with the tenant, or the person who the lender, if you will, giving the owner of the property $700,000 and saying, I'm renting this building for 10 years. Now, each year that he keeps the building, so he's paying $70,000 in rent, he's bringing in, the building itself is producing $100,000 of a year of income, he'll end up with a $30,000 profit. Now, at any time, they can make up that the owner of the building has the right to cancel the lease. Although, when you sell something with a buyback, that's a problem. But if you lease something, the fact that you can cancel the lease, mikan olah haba, that is not a problem. So if a person owns a building and it's bringing in rent, what he could do is he could always lease the building out to someone at a below market value. He can get all of the money up front. And as long as he holds on to the money, the lender, if you will, or the tenant, will be paying $70,000 a year for the building and earning $100,000 a year. Whenever the owner of the building refinances or gets the money, he can always buy out this, you know, the investor, the lender, and that is a way where very similar to a halva beribis. Of course, there's a risk. The person who's lending the money, who's really, really renting the building, if the tenants move out, if the rents drop, if something happens, then he will suffer a loss. There is some amount of risk there. But if he's secure, if it's a long-term tenant, if he knows, if he expects the rent to continue, this is a way to do something similar to a halva beribis. No, so the case that's discussed is where the owner of the building would have has the right to redeem it. The other case is not discussed. That may make it into a harama because you can undo it at any time. But I don't know. That's not specifically discussed. So this is a case where you can get something similar to halva beribis if you have a property that you could rent out that everyone's comfortable with. Now the next set of halachas by Skiris is the Gemara and Samach Tes on the days. The sugya of Rav Chama. So the Gemara says that Rav Chama have a moiger zuzi bepshita b'yoyma. Rav Chama had a very interesting idea. He knew you weren't allowed to be malva beribis. So what he did is, he said, I'm not lending money, I'm not charging interest. What I'm doing is, I'm renting out money. I'm renting out money, and I'm going to charge one pshita for each zuzi a day. Halacha is you can rent a car, right? You rent a car, you can charge rent. So if Chama said, if I can rent a car, I can rent out money also. So that's what he did. He went into the money renting business, not the money lending business. What? So the Gemara says, Kalu zuzi de Rav Chama. Rav Chama lost all of his money. Well, this Gemara is, and it's true, it's Gemara later on also, that one of the einshim of a person who is malva beribis is nechasiv mismaititin. He loses his money. That's actually very interesting of, you know, all of the shailas that you get in Hilchos Ribis. So this Gemara seems to be most disturbing to people. They call up, they want to know, is it any ribis, because they don't want to lose their money. The fact that there are 60 surim, okay, bothers some people more, some people less. The fact is, ain't kam b'tchias ha-meisim, also a little bit more disturbing. But when they hit the Gemara that you lose your money for Malva Beribis, suddenly things become very serious. So the Gemara says Rav Chama was wrong, that this is an Isser, that this is Isser Ribis. Why? So the Gemara explains. There's a big basic difference between lending money and renting a car. So it's Machlokes Rashi and Tesis exactly how to learn it. But basically, when you rent a car, you're renting the car. You're taking the car. You're giving back the exact same car. Now, it's true. If you go ahead and you smash it up, you'll have to pay for it. But under normal circumstances, the idea is you're taking the car, you're giving back the same car. Zog Tosfos, since that is a rental, where you're giving back the item be'en, rentals, according to Tosfos, do not have a problem with ribis. In contrast, when you're borrowing money, you're not giving back the same dollars. You're borrowing the money because you're spending it. You're going to spend it, you'll buy, you'll sell, you'll do whatever it is. When the time comes to repay, you'll get different money and pay back the same value. That's a loan, because you're not giving back the same item that you took. So according to Tosfos, as long as if you're using up the item and replacing a similar item, that's a loan. That's where we have problems with ribbis. If you're giving back the exact same item that you took, there it's just a question of paying for the use. Tyson says it would be mutter. Oh, very good, very good. So let me just get that in a moment. Rashi argues over here. Rashi has a tremendous chumrah. Rashi says that you need two conditions to be mutter. Number one, you need the fact that you're giving back the same item. Number two, Rashi holds you can only rent a car because when you drive a car, there's wear and tear. However, according to Rashi, if you rent something that has no wear and tear, you rent a ring or something that doesn't depreciate, doesn't get worn out, Rashi holds it is also to charge rent. Now Rashi is a chiddush. Come out all the Rishonim argue. We pass him like Tosfos. But according to Rashi, you need two conditions. You need the fact that you're giving back the same item, and there's some sort of wear and tear. According to Tosfos, the ikar is the fact that you're giving back the same item. Now, what happens if you're renting money, but you're not going to use the money? You're getting a wad of he's giving you cash. You need it just to show how wealthy you are. So over here, Tosefta says, based on this Gemara, there's no problem with ribbis. That's not a loan. The same way you can rent a car, you can rent money. So according to Rashi, that holds that even when you're giving back the same item, if there's no pchas, it would be aser. So you'd have a problem here too, because the money is worth the same amount. But according to Tosefta, as long as you give back the same item, there's no issue of ribbis. It's a rental. So according to Tosefta, it would come out that case is mutter, and therefore, as long as you're taking this stack of money and giving back the exact same stack of money, according to Tosefta, that would be mutter. There is one catch, and that is a soicher is only chayiv in gnei v'aveda. If it gets stolen, if it gets lost, he's going to be chayiv. However, if there's an oinus, if there's an armed robbery, in that case, a soicher is generally potter. In this case, where there is no pchas, where there's no wear and tear, there, the Sefer Trumos Paskins, you cannot take more responsibility than a typical soicher. And therefore, if you, in the case where you're renting money, where you're not going to spend it, it'd just be held, held as is. So if you have the halach of a regular soicher, you're only responsible for gneiva v'aveda. That's okay. Once you start taking extra liability there and you accept responsibility even for einsin, that would be usur even though you're not going to actually spend the money.
Why is that the good name? What's the lumnus behind the
taisus? The lumnus is that a loan means that I'm taking it, I'm using it, I'm giving you replacing it with a thing of similar thing of equal value. In contrast, if the item is always yours, I'm not spending it. There, you're charging me for the use of your item. It's your item that I'm using. I'm driving your car. There, you can bill me for it. It's when this is lohitza. It's lohitza. It's not yours anymore. Now I just have a debt to repay a similar thing back. I'm using my thing. There would be usur. So, but in case of eggs, the eggs, if you're renting it to show off, you want to put it on, show people you have eggs, that would be mutter. Because that would be, but on the other hand, if you're using it, so then it's l'hoitza nitna. And in that case, it would have a regular case of regular halachas of ribbis. Okay, normally, if a soicher wants to accept, a normal person, if you rent a car and you want to take extra responsibility, you want to be chayiv even ba'oinsin, so in most cases it will be mutter. Because the halacha is, ma'aseh shem rechim lo'yis kishayel, kesoicher kishayel. The halacha is, if you're a shomer, you want to take extra responsibility, that's fine. Where you run into problems is where you take all the responsibility. So in the case where you're renting money, where there is no pchas, there's no downside. Money doesn't change in value. Money doesn't get worn out. So there, if you take responsibility for gneiva aveda and oinus, you now have all the responsibility. So even though you're a soicher, that would be ribbis. However, if you rent a car and you take responsibility for einzin, that would be mutter, because the owner still has two responsibilities. The owner will lose money if the market value drops. If Camrys become cheaper, as long as you don't smash up, that's the owner's loss. That's not your loss. And secondly, when you're driving it, there's wear and tear. So the owner has the pras, the owner has yoker v'zol. So even though the seicher is responsible for gneiva ve'en oinsin, that would be fine. However, if you have a case where there is no pras, you have something that doesn't get worn out, or if you rent a car and you're a seicher, and the parties make up that the person who's renting it will pay for all the normal wear and tear on the car. So in that case, there's a machlokes rishayim. Tosfos and the Ramah both seem to pass that it's awesome. Because since the person who's renting it has all the responsibility, if it gets stolen, if it gets lost, if it gets worn out, no matter what happens, the tenant pays. There, Tosfos says it will be awesome. The Rivan and the Machan Ephraim are Mekel. And they say that no. Since if you don't smash up the car, you're gonna return the car back to the owner. That means that if the car dropped in value, the market value dropped, who's going to suffer that loss? The owner. Since the owner has Yoker Vizol, according to the Rivon and according to the Machan Ephraim, there the Issa Ribis would not apply. Now this Machlokes has a tremendous nafkamino if you're dealing with in certain real estate transactions. If a person has a triple net lease where the tenant takes all the responsibility for the property. So in such a case, what happens? If it's gnei v'aved or oinis, if the building burns down, who pays? The tenant. So he has gnei v'aved, he has oinis. The only thing the owner really has is yoker v'zol. If the market value of the building drops, that's not the tenant's problem. That's the owner's problem. So according to the Mechaber and according to the Machan Ephraim and the Rivon, they'll be mutter, since the owner has zol. According to the Ramah and according to Tosfos and some of the other Rishonim, that Zol itself is not enough. You need some level of pras. Now, practically speaking, even... No, there's Yoker v'Zol, that's market value. That, according to summary, that's a machlokes where that itself is enough. If you have pras, wear and tear on the building, there everyone agrees it will be mutter. So if the lease is set up where all wear and tear is completely the tenant's responsibility, that would depend on this machlokes. However, in most cases, even when there's a triple net lease, the normal wear and tear will very often will not be the tenant's responsibility. Even when they have responsibility for the internal wear and tear, if there are any structural issues or the roof gets worn out, there normally the tenant will not have to replace the roof and put it back into its original condition. So therefore, in a normal case, the pchas and the wear and tear will also be on the masker, and therefore would be mutter. But at least conceptually, if you have a case where all the liability is on the tenant, you would have a ribbis problem, even though it's a lease. No, in a case where you're just doing maintenance, but at the end of the lease, the fact that everything is worn out, you don't have to replace that. That would be mutter, and that's why most cases are not a problem. If you sign a lease where the tenant at the end of the term has to give it back in its original condition, that's where you would have this shaila. And according to Machan Ephraim, it would be mutter even in that case because the owner has yoker v'zol. The owner suffers any market risk. According to the other Rishonim, and according to the Ramah, that would be usur, since there's no physical deterioration, yoker v'zol would not be enough.
What about all this capital lease, where the user doesn't have to keep it up? Essentially, it's a dollar buyout. He's going to own it at the end, essentially.
So when he has to buy it out at the end, so that's really the truth of the Minchas Yitzchak that we had in the Maror Mekoyim. Let me get to that in a few minutes. Let me go through the Rishmosh, and then we'll get to there.
Person has a building or an apartment, and in reality, the owner is responsible for things like repressive cooling down and things like that. But there's just too much of a hassle to deal with it. So
So you fix it. Is that a shot at the lease?
No. This is only when the lease is set up, it's set up in a way where the tenant has all the responsibility. Once you accept all the responsibility, even though it's called a schiros, it has a din of a halva. It's when the landlord has, in halacha, he has a certain level of liability, you don't have a ribbis problem, regardless of whether you call him up to bother him about it or not. Now this leads us to a heter of Igros Moshe. Igros Moshe is dealing with a case where a person was buying a house, and for whatever reason it was not practical to write a heter riska. So Igros Moshe has the following suggestion. Instead of buying the house, borrowing money from the seller, and writing a heter riska, he says what a person can do is he can sign a rent-to-own agreement. Where, again, to use numbers to make it simpler, let's assume the house costs $500,000. The buyer is putting down $100,000. The seller is financing the rest. So Zakh Igros Moshe, what they can do is like this. When the buyer pays $100,000 at the closing, and what they make up is instead of at the closing, the buyer owning the house, what happens is the buyer becomes a partner. He paid $100,000. He paid a fifth of the value of the house. He now owns 20% of the house. The remaining 80% of the house belongs to the owner. Now, the parties agree that over 30 years, over the life of the mortgage, you're going to pay up the loan. That means the $400,000 that you're financing is going to be paid out over 40 years. Zakh Igros Moshe, we can make up that there's no loan. The buyer didn't borrow money. He's a partner in the house. What he's doing is he's agreeing to buy the house slowly over the next 30 years. He's going to pay $400,000 for that house over the 30 years. And as he makes each monthly payment, he's buying into the house more and more and more and more. Now, the problem is the owner wants to charge interest. He's financing the house. He wants the return. Zakh Igros Moshe. You can set it up where from day one at the closing, your partner's in the house. The buyer owns 20%, the seller owns 80%. The buyer is moving in right away. So the seller can charge the buyer rent. You're living in my house. I want you to pay rent. The amount of rent that he charges should be the amount of interest that he wanted to make off this deal. Now, every month, what happens every month? You pay the first month you make your payment. Part of that payment is going to be principal. Part of it is going to be rent. The next month, now your payments are going to change. Because now you own more of the house. You don't just own 20%. You own 20.05 or whatever it is. The first month, there's not much principal. But whatever principal you buy, the next month, your rent drops because you're only paying rent on the part of the house that you don't own. So over the 30 years, your payments will be exactly the same as they would be if there was a mortgage with a standard amortization schedule. Difference is the principal is what you're doing is you're actually buying into the property. The amount equivalent to rent to interest is you're renting the part of the house that's not yours. This is the Igros Moshe's Eitzah. Oh, it's like this. There are a few, whenever you do a haram or whenever you change things around, there are usually ramifications, and you have to work through all the details. The first is, what about rent? What about insurance? What about all the maintenance? If you're buying a house and financing it, so it's the buyer's problem. If we're partners in the house, then the buyer should be paying 20% of the taxes, and the seller should be paying 80% for the first month. So what you have to do is, you have to add, the rent is not just the amount financed, it's the amount financed plus all of the taxes, all of the maintenance, the insurance, and all of the other fees and all of the other upkeep. It's true, but it'll be a variable lease where the amount that you pay it changes over time. Now, a second problem that you have when you go down this route is what happens if you're late on your rental payment. So, if you late on a mortgage payment, there are penalties, there's default, you start paying interest on if you're a day late, you start paying, or 10 days late, you start paying extra interest based on how late you are. On a rental agreement, you can't do that. So as we've learned in the past weeks, you can charge a one-time penalty for a late payment, But it can't be variable and it can't accrue over time. So when you do sign one of these rent-to-own agreements, the owner has a certain level of liability. If a payment is made late, he can charge you a one-time fee. Meanwhile, the bank will be charging him a recurring fee. Oh, very good, very good. So now we get to our sugya. Zag de minchas yitzchak. This arrangement is aser. Because what's happening? When a person signs this rent-to-own agreement, he's a seicher, he's renting the house. Now what happens if the house burns down? Whose problem is it? The buyer's, right? He's taking responsibility for gnei avad. If there's an oinus, also the seller doesn't want liability for this house. The seller wants his money. So they write in the contract, the buyer has all the responsibility. Now what happens if the value of the house drops? Who loses? So over here, it's an interesting case. As far as the rental is concerned, it doesn't say. But part of it, besides for this rental agreement, there's also a buying agreement, a purchase agreement. You're committing to purchase the house at a set price over 30 years. So it comes out the owner of the house has absolutely no liability. So along comes the Minchas Yitzchak and says that it's very nice, there's no loan, you avoided that problem with Ribbis. But the moment you set up a rent-to-own agreement and you transfer all the risk to the renter, Yoiker Zol Oynis Kneva Aveda, you're back to Ribbis Daraisa. So Minchas Yitzchak suggests what you can do is you have this very simple etza. What you can do is you can write in the lease that the owner retains liability for Gneva Aveda or Oynse. So in that case, if the house burns down, it's the owner's problem. If the value of the house drops, that's still the tenant's problem. That's not a problem. That's okay. Now, how does the seller protect himself? He buys insurance. Now, there's nothing wrong with the seller saying, part of your rent is you have to pay for my insurance. So you have a sale-lease agreement where the tenant does not responsible for Gneiva Aveda. He's only responsible for Zol. But part of his rent is paying the interest, if you will, the upkeep, the taxes, and he has to pay for insurance. Now, there still is if the house burns down and the insurance company for some reason declines coverage, the seller, the owner of the house, is going to be responsible. He cannot force the buyer to accept that liability. But that risk is usually pretty minimal, and if as long as the seller is willing to accept that risk, that would be fine. He doesn't address it. It's hard to know there is a svara to say that it's not a direct achrayus of Zol. It's really the purchase agreement is really a separate agreement. So maybe that's not called achrayus of Zol. It's hard to know what he holds. He really doesn't address the issue.
If the buyer walks away from the house and the house depreciated by $200,000, the license is going to go back to the seller.
No, because this part of this agreement is you can force him to buy it from you. And the same way if he defaults on a loan or an ISCO, you bring him to Bez and you force him to pay. So over here too, if you sign it, if you have a contract which is written correctly and it forces him to buy it from you, you bring him to Bez and you force him to continue making the payment. Okay, now there's one other problem with this arrangement, with the way it's typically done. And that is really two points. The first point is what happens when you sign such an agreement? I get this style of all the time. People, they don't want to do a head to risk, they do one of these rent to own agreements. Usually the way it's done is a person wants to buy a house. For some reason he can't buy the house directly, he doesn't have credit, he finds someone else to put it under his name. And he then signs a rent to own agreement with that person. What happens that if the first person refinances? The original mortgage was at 6%, the rates dropped, now he refinances at 4%. Who keeps the profit? So, if you live in a house, you're a tenant, and your landlord refinances his building, does your rent go down? No. Well, his finance, his arrangement with the bank has nothing to do with you. You're a tenant. You're paying rent for living in this unit. So it should come out if this person who did you the favor, he put the house under his name, he has a mortgage from the bank, and you signed a rent-to-own agreement, if he goes ahead and refinances with the bank, there's absolutely no reason for your rent to drop. Now, usually the parties, the expectation is that if he refinances, it's usually the tenant that benefits. It doesn't really make sense. And it adds to the harama. I'm not sure exactly I don't know if it makes it into Rivas Daraisa or if it's a harama, but I'll call upon him. It's strange that the landlord is expected to drop the rent simply because he refinanced. The last problem that I'd just like to go through very briefly is very often what people will do is if a person will have a house or a person will buy a house under someone else's name, and they'll realize they have a problem with Rivas after they did the deal already. That means the house is already bought. It belongs to one person. It's under someone else's name. They'll go ahead. They'll say, we have a problem with Ribbis now. So let me sell it to you. Let me sell it to the title holder. We'll get rid of this loan. And we'll do a Rav Moshe's rent-to-own agreement. When you do that, you're back to the problem that we discussed last week. Because if a house belongs to you, you're selling it and then doing a buyback. There, we're back to, this is like the halacha, that if you sell a property with the right to buy it back, that itself is ribbis. And there, the hishtamishus, the use, the rent, everything that will be ribbis itself. So Rav Moshe says, so if you look at the tshuva, was talking about lechachila. You're buying the house today, so you're not buying the house, you're doing this rent-to-own agreement, and there's no halva. But if you've already purchased the house, and now you want to transfer it, and then sign a rent-to-own agreement, then you have the problem of a mechira, which is chayzer, and there you have another whole set of issues, and this shtar will not help you. Right, so according to the Sma, if there's a period in between where you can't redeem it, or the other eight is to sell it and make up, I'm selling it to you, but I can't force you to sell it back to me, any of the eights that we discussed last week could be an eight to here. Again, you just have to address it. Okay, it depends how it's structured. It's too open-ended. Now, just if anyone happens to be in Lakewood on Tuesday, just want to be my dia d'olam, I'm in Mirtz Hashem making a bris. Chakras is 7:30 in Kahal Nachas Yaakov in Central Court. Just want to be my dia d'olam.